This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll be talking with Randy Bachman of the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive, who's out with a new group and a new CD. But first, Hillary Clinton addressed her email controversy this week, acknowledging in hindsight she probably should not have used her personal email account as Secretary of State. Clinton told reporters that she complied with all the rules that were in place, then said, looking back, it would have been better to use separate phones and two separate email accounts. I thought one mobile device would be simpler. Obviously, it hasn't worked out that way. Clinton also acknowledged that she deleted some personal emails from her server. Her choice to use the one email account was a matter of convenience, she said. Clinton added that she did not send classified information over her personal account. However, half her inbox, 31,800 messages, had not been handed over. These days, Hillary says she uses two devices. Clinton acknowledged as much just 2 weeks ago at the Silicon Valley Conference for Women in response to a question, iPhone or Android. iPhone, Clinton said to applause, okay, in full disclosure, a BlackBerry too. Later in the conversation, Clinton said, I don't throw anything away. I'm like two steps short of a hoarder. So I have, you know, an iPad, a mini iPad, an iPhone, and BlackBerry. That according to Hillary Clinton. Oklahoma University expelled two students this week who were accused of playing a leadership role in a fraternity's racist video. University President David Boren issued a statement and tweeted saying the students had created a hostile environment for students and the university community and said there's zero tolerance of this kind of threatening racist behavior at the University of Oklahoma. Boren had been working to repair damage to the university since the video went viral last Sunday. All SAE members had until Tuesday night to clear out of their frat house. Meanwhile, one of the two students expelled issued an apology. Parker Rice said in a statement, I am deeply sorry for what I did Saturday night. It was wrong and reckless. I made a horrible mistake by joining in the singing and encouraging others to do the same. He added, at this point, all I can do is be thoughtful and prayerful about my next steps, but I am also concerned about the fraternity friends still on campus. Apparently, they are feeling unsafe and some have been harassed by others. Hopefully, the university will protect them. For me, he said, this is a devastating lesson, and I am seeking guidance on how I can learn from this and make sure it never happens again. My goal for the long term is to be a man who has a heart and the courage to reject racism wherever I see it or experience it in the future. Police in Washington State are on the hunt for a man who was caught running down the sidewalk with a toddler under his arms. The scene was a failed kidnapping, and it was caught on camera. A local shop worker saw what was happening, and her two older sons went chasing after him as well. They're the ones who seemed to scare off the kidnapper. The man eventually took the 22-month-old boy, sat him down, and ran away. The children were playing at a park near their babysitter's house when the baby was abducted. Well, you know him from the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive. Randy Bachman is with us. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Mike.
The upcoming tour as it comes through Connecticut, New York next month. Are you excited to be out on the road again?
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This new project is very exciting for me to have a new album coming out with a new band and trying something oldish and making it newish, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, this is called Heavy Blues, the new CD, and your drummer and your bass player are both ladies, so this is kind of an interesting take on things.
Yeah, it really is, and they are amazing players and amazing lookers, and so I think all the guys in the audiences will be amazed, and I think the women will become fans of these ladies as well. Because when you play as proficiently as they do, it's pretty amazing. I mean, they just don't lightly play. The reason I got them is that they basically attack their instruments. So if you ever saw a film of Keith Moon or John Bonham and early Zeppelin or The Who, these guys attacked the drums and the bass, and that's what these ladies do. And so it gives me such a strong platform to stand on their shoulders and do my thing. I started, like, you know, as a teenager, and we were pretty much the first band with our song Shakin' All Over, which was 64, 65. I mean, a lot of us are still in high school then, to break the top 20 in the States and have a number one record in Canada of a band that played and sang their instruments. We weren't a stand-up doo-wop band. We, you know, were actually four guys who played bass, drums, and guitar, and, you know, piano, and sang. And then a little regrouping, and then Burton Cummings joined the band, and we wrote our own hits, so we kind of architected our way out of Canada, all over the States and then all over the world. And then after that, I had BTO again, where I had to, like an architect building a building, get together some material and some plans and some guys who want to do some work and work at it, because it takes a lot of work waiting for your lucky break, so to speak. You got to be ready when your break comes or the house doesn't get built. You know, it's when it's a sunny day and everyone's at the beach and it's a time to pour your foundation and everyone's away, you kind of got to be ready on site waiting. So that's kind of what I guess the architect means. And plus, I wrote all the hit songs for the guests in BTO, so I'm very comfortable doing that. And I reinvented myself to write these blues songs and went and listened to a lot of really great old stuff from the late 40s and 50s that basically became the essence of rock and roll.
Wow, so you went back and listened to stuff. Isn't that somewhat dangerous in the sense that you almost will transpose what you hear onto the page and into your songs?
Well, it was in a way, because I was going to pay tribute on this album to a lot of old blues guys. And so I had a song that was my favorite Jimmy Reed song, Baby, What You Want Me to Do. And I was doing it in a mumbling Jerry Reed thing, because he kind of really mumbled his stuff. And Kevin Shirley came out of the control room. He said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, this is my favorite Jimmy Reed song." He said, "Well, everybody's done this song. And there's an album out 2 years ago by Omar and the Howlers and Jimmy Vaughn where they did all of Jimmy Reed's songs. So why don't you rewrite this, make it your own, change the lyrics, speed it up, make it real heavy blues." And I went, "Wow, heavy blues, great title." So I wrote the song Heavy Blues, and I took that Jimmy Reed thing, "Baby, What You Want Me to Do," and it's the first line in a song called "Learn to Fly, Fly Away." So I took that Jimmy Reed thing and I made it my own. So I used that template, kicked it up a few notches, let the girls play their thing where they actually, you know, attacked their instruments and really pushed me, and out came a couple of new songs from that moment. So the whole album was a creative process like that of me having a producer for the first time in many years. And Neil Young told me this. He said, "You know, get a new band, get a new producer, challenge yourself, do things you've never done before, get a different guitar, put on different strings, don't play your standard licks and your standard chords, make everything unusual and try to fit into the unusual and amaze yourself, and then guess what? You might amaze some other people as well." So with that in mind, I tried to do that and accomplish it a couple of times.
Any specific blues venues that you have on your wish list?
Basically, I'm like any entertainer. Any place that wants me, I'm happy to go and play it. So if it's a blues club like B.B. King's in New York, or any House of Blues or Hard Rock Cafe, I'd love to go play those, because that's basically why people go there, is to hear that kind of music. There's no surprise when you go there. You want to rock out and blues out, right? But I'm also looking forward to a lot of these. There's a mixture now of blues festivals that are kind of classic rock and mixture of classic rock and blues musicians that I fit very well into, because even with this new girl band, I'm going to be playing American Woman and Taking Care of Business, and all my hits will be slightly different because, you know, different players with more energy, probably maybe more energy than the original tracks or records. And then I'll be sneaking in the odd 3 or 4 blues songs to plug this new album. So I'm kind of creating medleys. So there's a track on my album called A Ton of Bricks that's going to slide right into American Woman. The opening track, The Edge, is going to slide right into or out of You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. We haven't rehearsed this yet. I'm just planning it now on paper, rehearsing in about 10 days. And then I'm going to do like a whole bunch of the standard classic hits, No Time and No Sugar Tonight, things like that. But once in a while, when the key is right and the tempo's right, it'll go from a hit like American Woman right into Ton of Bricks and then end with American Woman again. So I'll create a medley with the new song in the middle. When I'm done, I'll say, "Well, you all knew American Woman, and that was in the middle. There was Ton of Bricks from our new Heavy Blues album." So people will get a little, rather than saying, "Guess what, everyone? I'm going to be playing a new song from my new album," and they all get up and go and buy popcorn or a t-shirt. I'm going to kind of sneak it in while they're sitting there. And I saw ZZ Top last night, and I saw Fleetwood Mac a few last week, and Bob Seger. They were all through Toronto. And they kind of do the same thing. They do like 2 hits, and right in between it, they do a new song. And you kind of get into the new song and go, "Wow, you know, Lindsey Buckingham, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's a Fleetwood song." But when you do it all alone with a big bookend saying, "Listen closely, this is our new thing," it kind of sets it, you're too critical. When you're really grooving into a song that's a hit that you've known and heard 1,000 times and driven, you know, all over the countryside with your windows down, and in comes something new, you kind of flow with it, and then you go to another song, and so there's a whole familiarity thing. It's like a new sandwich, and your mother sneaks in a pickle, if you know what I mean. It's a different bite, but it's still the same sandwich. So,
where's home, and who's your favorite hockey team?
What hockey team do I play for? I don't really, well, I'm from Winnipeg, so like it was the Winnipeg Jets, and they left for many years. And I lived in Vancouver, so it was the Canucks. And now my home is in the Toronto area. They call it GTA, Greater Toronto Area. I'm just a fan of the playoffs. I can't. I'm being a musician. I can't follow every baseball and basketball and hockey game. So I really like the final playoffs when it's like the four greatest teams narrowed down to the two greatest teams narrowed down to the, you know, the final thing. That's when I kind of take time to watch it. I just don't have time. Like, a lot of guys are bored with their life, so they watch sports every single day or every weekend, and that's their big thing, and that's okay. I have a lot of friends that do that. I have my own radio show. I'm constantly doing music and writing it for other bands and touring and doing projects. So when it's the sports time, like I said, it's the playoffs. Let me watch the World Series or the Grey Cup or the Rose Bowl. Those are the ones I like.
All right, Randy Bachman, thank you so much. And yeah. I know you're looking forward to coming down from Canada and visiting the States again.
I am, and we'll probably have some special guests on those shows as well.
Thank you, sir. All the best to you and safe travels.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
With Randy Bachman, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Dale had been a Boy Scout since he was 8 years old. Now in his early 20s, he's a scoutmaster of Troop 73. Unfortunately, the Boy Scouts are revoking his membership because it's been discovered that Dale is gay. Dale is devastated to be kicked out of an organization he'd devoted 20 years to, so he's suing the Boy Scouts to be reinstated. What was the outcome of this real-life case? The final verdict after this.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
The Boy Scouts violated the statute prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in places of public accommodation. Dale has been reinstated, and that's the final verdict.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Did you catch your little kid playing doctor? Well, it's inevitable. Kids are going to play doctor. And actually, you should expect it. Here's the developmental science of it. Assuming your children are young, there's very little to worry about. If they're being playful and giggly, that's a good sign. It's a natural curiosity about bodies. And remember, at a young age, they neither can spell sexual harassment nor have a clue what it is. So what's the cheap psychological trick? Well, use this playing doctor business to your advantage. When you catch them playing doctor, that's a great time to do some explaining about the human body. And don't forget to explain that private areas are called private for a reason. It's because they're private. And when they play doctor again, just calmly tell them to dress and then redirect them to some other game. You know, you can check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.